Turn to 2 Samuel 11.
Wait, say it again.
2 Samuel chapter 11. And this is about David and Bathsheba. And the lessons that Yahweh recorded all this for us, but there's a purpose, and we must always ask for a reason. Why did Yahweh record this, and what am I supposed to learn from it?
For David.
Yeah.
Well, for the century.
This is Bathsheba. So David means beloved, and Bathsheba means daughter. That's Bath. Sheba is of an oath, daughter of an oath.
Daughter of a what?
Oath. O-A-T-H. So David was a holy man, a prophet, anointed by Yahweh. He was the Christ line. And so he was not an evil man. He was not going out to do an evil intentions. No, not like Saul and, you know, Ahab and things like that. He's also, you know, going to be associated with people being called the son of David, the offspring of David. So even in Revelations 22:16, Yahushua is called the offspring of David. That's how important David is. David's name is used 1,135 times in the word of Yahweh. Moses is used 848 times. And Yahushua is used 913 times. Now, that's just the New Testament. But you see how important David is. Yahweh's lessons for recording, you know, he's given us the lessons while we're recording about David and Bathsheba's story. He was not a murderer. He would not kill Saul. And, that's in 1 Samuel 26, 7 through 11. That's the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. And he, obviously, Saul would not have been a murderer. He would have been a justifiable killing. David knew the laws concerning adultery, which is Leviticus 20:10. And he also knew the seventh commandment, which is adultery, and the tenth commandment, which is covet not thy neighbor's wife. But he did know those. David had no intention of breaking the commandments 6, 9, and 10, which is murder, bearing false witnessing, and coveting thy neighbor's goods. He was going to plan on breaking the seventh commandment, which is thou shalt not commit adultery.
And want your neighbor's.
So that was his intention. Yeah. It should be like that. He just desired a consensual sexual experience hidden, a one-time only event. And it was not rape. It was consensual. So Bathsheba obviously desired the same thing. no one gets hurt. Their little secret. That's it. We do it once and everybody goes their own way. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And so you see that with deception. Deception can be as an angel of light. Many times we think, you know, it is amazing. So David at that time too, think that we can get away with it if nobody else finds out about it. But Yahweh, you know, you've got to, you know, whatever you're doing in the dark doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. The light's always on. So Yahweh reported this record, so we're not going to be deceived as David and Bathsheba were deceived. The full cost of David and Bathsheba's sin is their child dies, Uriah dies, the soldiers with Uriah die, Joab becomes the instrument of multiple murders of good men, Nathan's life could have been threatened, the messengers are corrupted knowing the truth. Bathsheba becomes a widow. The parents, and this is something we don't think about, but the parents and siblings of the murdered men's lives are forever changed. So they have wives. Many times they have children. They have parents and they have grandparents. They were supposed to be taking care of their parents or their grandparents and their wives and their children. So this incident could affect 100 people. Very simple. And it was no intention. It was supposed to be just a one night fling. And that's the deception of sin. The deception of sin is you will benefit. You know, you're not going to do something that was going to hurt you. I'm not tempted into doing something that's going to hurt me. I want to stick my knife in a light socket. I'm not tempted to do that. And the other thing is, you will not get caught. You will not have to pay the price of the sin. And our Yahweh will not know, which sometimes we don't see him around, or he will forgive us. So, we will begin in 11. But in 10, chapter 10, we're going to see the context of where we're going.
What verse?
Chapter 10, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of the sons of Ammon died. And anybody remember who Ammon is?
The son. The giant?
No. Pardon me?
Was he the giant?
No. Mm-hmm. It was the son of Lot from his daughters. One was Moab.
Was it?
And one was Ammon. And that Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show loving kindness unto Hanun, son of Nahash, as his father showed unto me loving kindness. And then we find out this is the case where they thought he was spying, and they cut the guy's pants off at the buttocks and shaved half their beard off, and it started a war. Now, if you go to 12:26, and Joab fought against Rahab of the sons of Ammon and captured the royal city. So here's a continuation. So now we're going to look at 11, chapter 11, and 12 up to 25 is set aside this battle with Ammon. So it's almost like a parenthesis, but it's really not a parenthesis, and it's like a digression, I guess, but it's a figure of speech. And so we're going to read the chapter, both these chapters, and
11,
and learn from the story.
Which chapter?
And chapter 11, verse 1. Excuse me. And it came to pass at the return of the year, at the time of the going forth of kings, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and laid siege to Rabbah, and that was the capital of Ammon. But David was remained in Jerusalem. And it came to pass that at eventide David arose from his couch and walked to and fro on the roof of the king's house, when from the roof he saw a woman bathing herself, the woman being exceedingly beautiful to look upon. So there is a temptation. And then also you see Bathsheba's probably instigating something by not being covert about her bathing.
That's an assumption.
Yeah, but we're going to see it's probably a very good assumption. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, daughter of Elam, wife of Uriah the Hittite? Well, right there, whatever you had in your mind ends. Because if she was a single woman, you could maybe use her and take her as a wife. Mm-hmm. But she's a married woman, that is
off limits.
That is off limits. That's, you know, that's the sixth, the seventh commandment.
And the
Ten. And one thing about Uriah, which is interesting, this is, we won't go there, but 1 Chronicles 10, 41, or 1 Chronicles 11, verse 10 and verse 41, that Uriah is called one of his mighty men of war. And so he probably even know who Uriah is. And so your mind starts thinking, and the temptation comes. That I think, you know, he's off at war, everybody's off at war, it's just me and her, she's flirting with me. And I think we could pull this thing off. Now we go to
verse 3.
4. And David sent messengers and fetched her, and she came in unto him. See, that's where the messengers are involved now. Mm-hmm. So there's other people who are going to know about something.
And they're not Yahweh's messengers.
Yeah,
these
are
people.
These are David's messengers. And fetched her, and she came in unto him. So, you know, there's a real simple thing. If you're going to be raped, what are you supposed to do?
Scream.
Scream. All right, so this is not rape. And she laid with her, and he lay with her, she having, now this is a longer point, that she having purified herself from her uncleanness. That's Levitical law. So you're not breaking a Levitical law, right? Mm-hmm. But you're breaking the moral law, the seventh commandment. So even how that's interjected is the hypocrisy of the whole situation. Why that? And Yahweh puts that in there for that purpose. And she returned unto her own house. That was it. A one-night situation. Nobody's going to know about it. And it was done at night. And the woman, having conceived, sent and told David and said, I am with child. How long would that be, Wendy?
I don't know. About
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, usually 3 weeks.
Well, she, yeah.
So it's been 3 weeks now, so time's going pretty quick. Then said David unto Joab, send unto me Uriah the Hittite. Now, Joab is getting involved. Send unto me Uriah the Hittite. So Joab, what's up with this? You know, why would David want to be this person? So Joab sent Uriah unto David, and when Uriah had come in unto him, David asked how Joab prospered, how the people prospered, and how the war prospered. And then said David unto Uriah, go down unto thy house and bathe thy feet. And when Uriah went out of the house of the king, there followed him a present from the king. So I think, this is no problem. We're going to take care of this. And so what he was trying to do for the kids is that the husband would go home to the wife, and they will have a sexual relationship since he's home. And then that can explain why she's pregnant. So he's going to try to cover, say, go on home. And in that way, because if a woman is pregnant out of wedlock, when she's wedded, but if a woman is pregnant, what does the Mosaic law say?
Stoned.
She'd be killed. So David knows this, and all of a sudden he's going to be also know, because obviously Uriah could come back and say, I haven't slept with my wife for 6 months, and here's a child. Or Uriah died in the battle, and he went never back home. And here's a child. Who's this child? So Bathsheba gets stoned. And unless she would tell David that it was David's child, now he would be stoned also. Because that was the Levitical law. Stay right here. I guess we need to point that for the kids' sake too. Leviticus 20:20, page 146. But stay right here. Page 146. And so people today call this having an affair.
Leviticus what?
20. Leviticus 20, verse 10. And Isaiah, you want to read it? 20, verse 10.
What chapter?
Leviticus, page 146. Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 10. Go ahead, Melania.
And any man who committeth adultery with the wife of any other man, he that committeth adultery with the wife of his neighbor shall surely be put to death, and the adulterer and the adulteress.
That's it. Both of them are put to death. A euphemism means well, to speak well of. So when we say poop, that's a euphemism instead of saying fecal matter. You know, so some things that we say. We should never have euphemisms for wicked things. You don't speak, you know, so people will say they had an affair. No, they committed adultery.
Sodomy.
Yeah, and are they gay? No, it's sodomy. It's homosexual. It's sodomy. And so as our generation, we don't cover up the wickedness with a euphemism. We speak it out, and that's our adversary doing that, because, well, I just had an affair. Well, that's just normal. That sounds nice. What kind of affair did you have? You know?
A dance,
yeah. Now we go back to 11.
Okay, now back to what?
Chapter 11.
Second Samuel 11.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So he sent Uriah off to Bathsheba.
Verse 6.
Yeah. Let me see here. And verse 8. Then said David unto Uriah, go down to thy house and bathe thy feet. And when Uriah went out of the house of the king, there followed him a present from the king. And Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house, not where he's supposed to be, with all the servants of his lord, and went not down unto his house. And it was told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his own house. So David said, now so imagine, the messenger is now getting a message here. We know that Bathsheba is Uriah's husband.
Wife.
Bathsheba, yeah, her husband is Uriah. And we know that that David committed adultery with this woman. And now guess who comes in? It's Uriah. We know what's going on here. And then he says right here, Uriah went not down into this hell. Hey, boss, your plan's not working. Because we understand now what your plan is. So David said unto Uriah, was it not from a journey thou didst come? Why then hast thou not been down upon thy own house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in huts, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord on the face of the field are encamped. Was I then to enter my own house to eat, to drink, and to lie with my wife? By the life of thy soul, I could not do this thing. You know, so here's a very noble individual, honorable person. And see, you're making things even worse now. And so, David and Bathsheba never thought this would end up in murder. Let alone one murder. It's going to end up multiple murders. That was not their intention. They did not plan this. They were not malicious. Then, and 12, then said David unto Uriah, abide here today also, and tomorrow will I let thee go. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And David called him, and he did eat before him and drank, and he made him drunk. Why did he make him drunk?
He wanted to go home.
He's going to do something generally wouldn't do. Now I'm going to another deal. And he went forth in the evening to lie down on his bed with the servants of his lord, but unto his own house went he not down. And so it was in the morning that David wrote a letter unto Joab. Now here's plan three. That was actually probably three or four. And wrote a letter unto Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And this is even worse.
Fearing his own death sentence.
This is death sentence. And he wrote it in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire you from him that he be smitten and die. So now it just turned into murder. Premeditated murder. Which is the death sentence by Yahweh.
That's two death sentences.
Yeah. Now Bathsheba doesn't know anything about this. She didn't know about her husband. Even been in town. So she's not part of this. Let's see. Now,
16.
Go ahead, Isaiah.
So it came to pass when Joab was laying sleds in the city that he put
Uriah
in the place where he knew the men of valor were.
And forth sallied... Go ahead. The men of the city, keep reading.
And forth sallied the men of the city and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David, then dead also Uriah the Hittite. So Joab sent and told David the news of the battle. And he charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast ended all the news of the battle, speaking unto the king, then shall it be, if the king's anger arise, and he said unto thee, why came ye into the city to fight? Knew ye not they would shoot from off the wall?
So how did Uriah die?
They put him
arrows.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot from the walls. Okay, we keep going. 21.
Who smote Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast on him an upper millstone from off the wall that he died in Tebez? Wherefore came ye near unto the wall? Then shalt thou say, moreover, thy servant Uriah the Hittite died.
Isn't that something? If you're going to get chewed out, remember to say this last sentence. Uriah the Hittite is dead. Okay. So now Joab is part of this whole conspiracy. Lonnie, you start on 22.
Sure.
I'll tell you when to stop.
And the messenger went his way and came in and told David all that Joab had sent him to tell. And the messenger said unto David, the men were too strong for us, and sallied forth against us in the field. So we were drawn against them as far as the opening of the gate. Then did the archers shoot upon the servants off the wall, and there died the some of the servants.
So there it is, some of the servants and Joab. So there's multiple murders here. Keep going.
Of the king. Moreover, also the servant Uriah the Hittite died. Then said David unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say to Joab, let not this thing be grievous in thine eyes, for now this one and then that one doth the sword devour. Make hot thy battle against the city and overthrow it. Thus embolden thou him.
So, like, I got the message. And when Uriah's wife heard that Uriah, and this is very interesting, they don't call her Bathsheba in multiple cases. It's Uriah's wife. So Yahweh's making an emphasis here. We're not talking about Bathsheba. We're talking about Uriah's wife, which is Bathsheba. And when Uriah's wife heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she made loud lamentation over her Lord, and that's Baal. And so Baal is not a bad word, B-A-A-L. It would call the gods Baal. But Baal means owner, master. It could be husband also. But mourning over her Lord, she didn't have any idea that what she did was going to result in the death of her husband. Now think of what you've got to live with now. You killed your husband.
Wow.
And when the time of mourning had passed, David sent and received her into his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. Now she's not going to have to be stoned. Mm-hmm. And him not to be stoned also. But the thing which what David had done was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. So Yahweh saw the whole thing. So then Yahweh sent Nathan the prophet unto David, who therefore came unto him and said to him, two men there were in a certain city, and one rich and the other poor. The rich man had flocks and herds exceedingly many, whereas the poor man had nothing, save one little lamb which he had made his own and sustained, and it had grown up with him and with his children all together. Of his own morsel used he to eat, and out of his own cup used he to drink, and in his own bosom used he to lie. It was to him as a daughter. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, but he thought it a pity to take of his own flock or his own herd to make ready for the wayfarer who had come to him. So he took the lamb of his poor neighbor and made ready for the man who had come to him. Then was kindled the anger of David against the man fiercely, and he said unto Nathan, by the life of Yahweh, is he doomed?
Mm-hmm.
It's really son of death. So if you look at your footnote down, it's Ben, no, Ben, like Ben-Hur, his son, B-E-N. So this is Ben death. Doomed to death, you see, footnote D, a son of death. By the life of Yahweh, a son of death is the man that hath done this. And guess who that was?
Yeah.
It's him. It's him. And the lamb shall he pay back sevenfold, because he did this thing, and for that he had no pity. Then said Nathan unto David, thou art the man. Don't ever discourage Yahweh's messengers from approaching you. Because if Yahweh sent a messenger to approach you, if you reject the messenger, you're rejecting Yahweh. And so there's a big time, and usually the message is not going to be a good message. And you have a choice at that time to consider, is that from Yahweh? And is it hitting home? And I better do something about it and repent that you had to go to this format. Or if it's just a person's fabrication or whatever. But here's what it came down to. Thou art the man. That's it. We have this talk with people all the time, don't we? Don't we talk about people, about the Word, about speaking in tongues? There's no Trinity. you know, the dead aren't alive, and those people foo-foo, and off you go. Okay, we're the messengers. We're the messengers, right? And they don't take it. Christ is the Son of Yahweh, and if you do not adhere to Him, you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Is that all right with you? Ah, okay. Guess what? Message delivered. Message. That's all right. Thus said Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I anointed thee to be king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and gave unto thee the household of thy Lord, and the wives of thy Lord, and to thy bosom, and gave unto thee the house of Israel and Judah. And of this had not been too little, I would have further given thee more and more of such things. So this is Yahweh just right at David, saying, how dare you think that I didn't see this whole thing? So that's with all of us. How dare you even consider that I'm not here? I'm not in the room. It's like somebody, here's somebody's wallet right here, and it's Tim's wallet. Tim's out of the room, and I take a $100 bill out and put it in my pocket. Well, who's in the room? Y'all are. And then Tim comes in and goes, see you later, and takes his wallet. I mean, it's like, and Yahweh's saying, really? Really? You just did that and I'm sitting right here on the couch? What do you think I'm... You know, so you think that, and that's blindness that we start getting into.
It's like when you have a see-through curtain, you think no one can see you.
Yeah, that'd be, you have your lights on. Because I can't see them, they can't see me. Now watch this in 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the word, not despised me, but the word of Yahweh. What is that word of Yahweh? Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not covet thy wife, thou shalt not bear false witness. So you've probably broken 4 of the 10 commandments in a 9-month time frame. Uriah the Hittite, and I thought, now this is, because this was a secret. Nobody knew about this. Not Nathan. And he knows his name. How does he know his name? Because Yahweh, Uriah the Hittite, has thou smitten with the sword? You know, it's not Joab, and it's not the Ammons. It's you. And his wife has thou taken to thyself to wife. Remember, this is all against David, not against Bathsheba at this time. Yea, him hast thou slain with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall not depart from thy house unto age abiding times, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Now, something very important. Let me get this right. Thus said Yahweh, behold me raising up over thee calamity out of, and a lot of that's the word evil. Rotham says in his Bible, he's going to try to soften things. And so anytime you see calamity, it's the word evil. And the calamity could also be calamity. Out of thy own household, and I will take thy wife before thine eyes and give unto thy neighbor, and he will lie with thy wives in the eyes of thy son. For thou did it in the secret. But I will, you know, remember at night, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. Now, there's a problem here, because in Deuteronomy 24:16, it says, the followers will, well, let's go there. Let me see here. Deuteronomy 24:16. You probably need to know this. Keep your hand here, because we're coming right back. And Esther, you want to read 24 verse 16, page 223.
Oh. Wait, what?
Deuteronomy 24:16.
Okay. Fathers shall not be put to death for sons, nor shall sons be put to death for fathers. Every man for his own sin shall be put to death.
Okay, we got this. I mean, what? The son shouldn't have anything to do with this.
Right, so,
well, you just have to understand, in our understanding, something's going on that we don't quite understand, but Yahweh's not breaking his rules. Mm-hmm. But we do know, let me see here, that This happened with Absalom, with Absalom having sexual relationship with his concubines. And that's in, we're not going to go there, but 2 Samuel 16:22. At 13, now this is great. And remember, the teaching is about the deception of a saint. So David is a saint. He's a servant of Yahweh that has served him probably 15, 16, 20 years in incredible hardship. So he's a saint that's been hoodwinked. So we got to realize that. It's just, you know, so we got to have that favor too when we see something like that happen. You got to say, okay, this happened to David. Now we're going to look at the restoration, the restoring, because when we get into that field, or anybody we know get in that field, you have two choices. Either to stay in that field or to be restored. And the only way to be restored is in verse 15 or 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And this comes down. That's it. Guilty. Guilty as charged. Other kings would have killed the prophet. Very simply. And this isn't going to leave this room, so I'm going to kill you. Then said Nathan unto David, Yahweh also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. You should have died. And Bathsheba should have died. Nevertheless, because thou hast greatly blasphemed Yahweh. So this is, you despise. So when we do a sin, you can despise Yahweh. You greatly blaspheme Yahweh by this thing. Thy very son that is born to thee shall die. And Nathan, Esther, why don't you read for a while, 15. I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay. Nathan departed into his own house, and Yahweh struck the child that the wife of Uriah had borne unto David, and it fell sick. David, therefore, earnestly sought Yahweh in behalf of the boy. And David kept a fast, and used to go and pass the night, and lie down upon the ground, and the elders of his house stood up over him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, neither would he eat food with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, but the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For said they, lo, while the child was living, we spake unto him, he hearkened not unto our voice, and then we say unto him, the child is dead, so he do himself harm?
Okay, we'll stop there. One thing I did forget to point out, in verse 15, it calls Bathsheba also the wife of Uriah. It doesn't call her Bathsheba. So, I mean, this is driving home. This is driving home. 19, and when David saw that his servants were whispering among themselves, but David knows his fault. And he's trying to repent to save the child's life. I could really see with Yahweh, the child can't live. He can live on the new earth. He can't live now because of the circumstances that produce this child.
He's born in sin.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the child's fault, but the situation is, he become an heir of David. I mean, that just becomes something very bad. But when 19, but when David saw that his servants were whispering among themselves, and understood David that the child was dead, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they answered, dead. Then David arose from the ground and bathed and anointed and changed his apparel and entered to the house of Yahweh. Isn't that neat? He entered into the house of Yahweh, bowed himself down, then came in unto his own house and asked, and they set before him food and he did eat. You know, so this is a great deal. He went right back. And so that's really, we're going to see a whole transformation. It's something that's remarkable. Because what we're going to find out is the same couple, David and Bathsheba, are going to have who?
Solomon.
Jedediah.
The Christ line. So Christ is going to come from Solomon. What the heck is going on?
David and Bathsheba.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, Bathsheba's into this, involved in this. And let's just watch. And so you're looking at, wow, I mean, this is a total reversal. Because of his repentance. The only thing it could be is because of his total repentance. 21. Then said his servants unto him, what is this thing that thou hast done for the child's sake while living, and thou didst fast and weep? But as soon as the child was dead, thou didst arise and eat food. And he said, while yet the child lived, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knoweth whether Yahweh may not grant me favor and the child live? Remember, he did that for 7 days. Mm-hmm. So that's significance too. The child cried probably for 7 days. Mm-hmm. Bathsheba cried for probably 7 days. Now that he is dead, whereof should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I am going unto him, but he will not come back unto me. And David consoled Bathsheba, his wife, because, you know, he brought this whole thing on to Bathsheba, because now she doesn't have a husband. Her child just died. You know, he could even kick her, and he's his wife, but he consoled Bathsheba. And when it, now it's called, she's called Bathsheba instead of the wife of Uriah.
He called Bathsheba his wife.
Yeah, but it's Bathsheba. Usually it's the wife of Uriah. Wife of Uriah, wife of Uriah. Uriah. And went unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son and called his name Solomon, which is peace. Imagine that, peace. And Yahweh loved him. Wow, what is all this about? Yahweh loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan, the guy who gave the message that you shall, you know, about the wickedness, the prophet, and called his name Jedidiah, which means beloved of Yahweh, for Yahweh's sake. Now, we see that David, because of his repentance, Christ becomes the son of David. So that Christ is called the Son of David 14 times in the New Testament. Look at 1 Kings 15:5. Samuel, 1 Kings, this is the next one over. 15:5.
Wait, what?
1 Kings 15:5.
Oh, 1 Kings.
1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5.
Page 369.
That's right. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. They don't talk about Bathsheba. It talks about Uriah the Hittite. So we know that worked out good. We go to Matthew 1:6. And how was it like your dirty laundry ran for thousands of years?
Yeah. You blow it, you get forgiveness. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Matthew what?
Hi, I'm David. Yeah. I heard all about it.
What about you?
I heard all about it.
I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah. But you're the son of Christ line. You're the Christ line. And he died at a good age. 1:6. Melania, Matthew 1, verse 6. You know what the back book of Matthew is?
Yes.
Right. Why were you looking
page
at
one.
Isaiah, page 1?
Where's page 1? Where's that?
Right before 2.
Go ahead and read verse 6.
Then Jesse begat David the king, and David begat Solomon of her that he had been the wife of Uriah.
Now there's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And so it is put down for our lessons. One of the things that's important is David finished his course. Solomon had the same opportunity. And let's go there. And that is 1 Kings 11. Go back. Solomon did not, to the best of our knowledge.
Page 364.
Very good.
What verse?
That's in verse 6. So, here's a temptation in his older age. So Solomon did very good for a long time, but in his old age. And so we think, you know, it's like somebody says, you think you can sleep with dogs and not get fleas?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. You have bad friends, you're going to get fleas, period. If you have bad friends, and Solomon picked bad friends, and those are his wives from different countries. Good looking though, hotties, But they're going to kill him. That's the end result of sin. Sin always looks advantageous. It looks like it's going to benefit me, right?
Shortcuts.
Yeah, it's a shortcut, man. And Yahweh says, only in the Lord, well, I'm not supposed to marry these foreign women. Well, this is good for a kingdom. Boy, this girl really loves me. I mean, they like what you have is what they want. It's like paying a prostitute. She loves you as long as you got cash. And once the cash is gone, they're gone. And so what this deception that everybody knows is deception, but wait a minute, she's not smiling more. Oh, here's another 100. Oh, you love me again. Oh, isn't that great? I just love that affection. Yep.
Israel, your watch.
I don't hear you. There it goes. 6. Very good ears. That's good. Mm. 6. Thus Solomon did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh and went not fully after Yahweh as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill as before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the sons of Ammon. And thus did he for all his foreign wives who burn incense and offer sacrifices unto his gods. So Yahweh has taken away the kingdom, and he's given it to Jeroboam. Now if you look at 11:40, so Ahijah is a prophet. So Yahweh sent prophets to Solomon to say, stop, stop, stop. And it's, well, we ought to read that. Yeah, let's look back at 9:11:9. Therefore did Yahweh show himself angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away aside from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, who had appeared unto him twice and had been giving command to him concerning this thing. That how was he giving him command concerning this thing?
People.
By his prophets, or by his other people who know the word, that he should not go away after other gods. So Ahijah goes up to Jeroboam and says, you're getting 10 of the kingdoms. David finds out about it. Verse 40. When therefore...
David? Solomon.
11?
Solomon.
Yeah, Solomon. What did I say?
David.
Yeah, Solomon. When therefore Solomon sought to put Jeroboam to death, Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt. So very simply, Yahweh's putting Jeroboam to death, and who's the problem then? Solomon or Yahweh? It's Yahweh, yeah. He's talking about Jeroboam, so I'm going to kill Jeroboam, which would be killing Yahweh. So that's why we kill a prophet, because he's speaking what Yahweh says. If I kill a prophet, I won't hear from Yahweh anymore.
I don't want to hear that stuff anymore.
So really, when I kill a prophet, I'm killing Yahweh.
It's like breaking your alarm clock.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, and guess what? It doesn't happen. It doesn't go away. Let me see here. And for Solomon now, this will be the end of it, we go to 2 Kings 23. These gods he set up have stayed for 369 years in Jerusalem. Now think of that.
These
United
what?
States, these gods that he posted, we're going to see but that's 369 years later, these gods that he built for his wives are still in Jerusalem, the Holy Land, Yahweh's place. And so 2 Kings 23:1.
Think about that. That would be long before our country was ever established.
Yeah,
and they're still here.
Yeah.
Thought of.
Oh yeah, 1 and 3. This is, well, we're going to say about Josiah. You won't have to read that, but 23:1. Josiah, they see the word Yahweh is unpacked. He gets to see we're doing terrible things. What this book says, so he starts cleaning the house, mm-hmm. starts breaking everything apart. So now we go to 13 and 14. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Destruction, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built. What are these things even still doing there? That's through Asa. These things have become holy because Solomon built them. And you've got Jehoshaphat, Laodamet, you got Asa, you got all these righteous kings that somehow did destroy these things. The king of Israel had built unto Asheroth the abomination of the Zidonians and the Chemish, the abomination of the Moabites and Milcom, the disgusting things of the son of Ammon did the kings defile. And he break in pieces the pillars and cut down the sacred stem. And so you see the ramifications of our sins is huge, so Solomon probably very likely will not be on the new earth. Very simply, because he is. You know, if you ended very poorly, and it says very simply in Ezekiel that if you are a righteous man and depend on your righteousness and turn wicked, you're going to die. But if you were a wicked man and you turn and you repented of your wickedness, you can live. Don't count on your righteous deeds. And if you're not going to bow to Yahweh, then there's no way you should be on the new earth. He's going to bow to Christ, which is sad that on his deathbed he could have done something different. But he ended horribly. And actually, Manasseh might be there, and Solomon not. Because Manasseh was horrible.
50 years.
Yeah, 50 years of terrible reign, but he repented at the end. And that's what it says. But Solomon, it doesn't look like he ever appeared.
King Saul would be the same, though.
Pardon?
King Saul.
Yeah, Saul.
Yeah, Saul probably not going to be there either. I mean, he wanted to kill he killed prophets. I mean, he killed the priests, all sorts of stuff. And so we got to realize people can elect not to bow to Christ. And so one other thing that we used to think about, can you lose your salvation? Let's readdress this. Can you decide not to bow to Christ?
Forfeit.
Can you decide, I was a Christian, and now, as we know people, I am no longer a Christian. I refuse to bow to Christ. Are you going to be on the new earth? I think you've elected not to be on the new earth. You're not going to bow to Christ. There's no reason to be on the earth, because he's the king. Very simply. So, did you lose anything? No. You threw it away. So, can you forfeit your citizenship in the United States? Mm-hmm. You can't lose it. But if you forfeit, I guess you could lose it for treason or something to that effect. But you could say, I renounce my citizenship, and people have done that.
I've done that.
Yeah, you've renounced your citizenship. That's fine. And so we've known believers who serve Yahweh for 20, 30 years that went off the deep end, and they were the farthest thing. Now, they didn't murder people, as far as I know, but everything else is probably game. And so you have to be able to say, well, that's understandable for me. So if you want to reject the new earth, you don't want to be under Christ, you're not going to be there. Hallelujah. I mean, they would have to make you, force you to be on the new earth.
They'd have to force you to worship.
Yeah, to worship, to bow down. I mean, what kind of new earth is this? I mean, what are you going to do? Otherwise, you'd have to change their heart. So if man's got a heart, he can change it. So that's up to them.
You get a chance, though.
Yeah, it's just a thought to be able to say that. Let's talk about losing. Let's talk about rejecting Christ's lordship. I'm not going to bow to him, and I don't want to be on the new earth. Okay, I think that's a no-brainer. Okay, well, Father, we thank you for these words. According to 1 Corinthians 14, for the prophecies for the people. As you begin each day and as you meditate upon my words of life, realize that light is in my words. If you're in darkness, get into my word and enter into the light, that you may be set free from the powers of darkness in this world, into my wonderful kingdom, into my new earth that's coming, for the hope that's set before you, that my son gave his life for you in order that you may be walking on this earth with joy, because you know this is not the end. That I have prepared for you a habitation to dwell with me, with all your brothers and sisters who are righteous, who have decided also to reign with me upon this new earth. Amen. See you next week.